from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Welcome to the bonus show, everybody. Today on the show, I guess we're going to wrap up all this rapture business.
We've only got a couple days left of existence on Earth, man.
I guess so. So I hope everybody made plans for just to go out and just spend time with your loved ones. Because apparently you're going to spend time with them forever. Very soon, which I don't even, like, what the fuck is the point? I'm like, okay, well, if I'm spending the rest of my life with my family, I'm going to go fuck off and do something crazy. Just saying.
I wonder if there's different things that you can do in heaven, like, if you can not spend time with your family, and if that's okay. Because if, like, your mom's idea of heaven is, I want to spend all my time with my son, I'm pretty sure that's hell for some sons.
Yeah, are they going to make another you that she can interact with that's not actually you, but just a corporeal form so that she can just really disgustingly dote it with affection to the point of just where you want to kill yourself?
I love heaven. When you really start to ask people about what their ideas of it is, I love the people who think that it's a real place with, like, buildings that you live in and people that you know that you're going to interact with. Like, you have neighbors, and there is an infrastructure system of roads. You have the car that you want.
Angels are taxi drivers.
Who was that said that shit? It was that David Cross comedy sketch on YouTube where he was reading from the newspaper.
Yeah, from the new. What is heaven going to be like? I don't know if anybody remembers that reads articles or videos. I'm going to go and find this and repost it, where this guy basically talks about what heaven's going to look like, because in Revelations they talk about what it's going to look like. You know, it's got a dimensions. We didn't talk about it on the last show because it's just not fucking worth it. But what I'm telling you is, like, it's a gigantic floating fortress that comes down, all right, and it's got crazy jewels like emeralds and rubies on, like, the base of it, and it has specific dimensions. And I think that when most people talk about it, I think that's what they're talking about, right? That wacky image from Revelations about this city that comes down. They're like, it's 1,000 times bigger than New York City. You're like, okay.
That's
it's still kind of limited, it seems, though. So I guess that's why he eventually has to come back, because space is limited, everyone. Like, finally, by the time he's just like, all right, it turns out that only 10 million can live here, and there's only, like, a few million of you that actually have the right one, so I have to be patient.
But if it's 100 times bigger than New York City, and I guess everybody's getting a serious amount of acreage going on, if you can only fit that many people.
I'm assuming it's not going to be as cramped as New York City. You know, is that your idea of heaven, of a shitty apartment in New York City?
Not with the cost of renting there now.
Mansions are promised, right? Jesus talks about mansions. I want my mansion in New York. There can only be so many fucking mansions.
Are there sexual promises, like with the Muslims, the Islams?
No. See, here's the thing. Islam has the much more complete vision of heaven, right? Because they borrow from Christianity. So you have Judaism and its murderous knockoffs, right? And these knockoffs have their own interpretations of things. And Islam takes great care to explain how heaven looks exactly what you would expect from a desert people. Oh, there's water everywhere. And you're like, so? I live near the beach. I don't give a shit if there's water. It's not my idea of heaven, necessarily. Maybe I'm tired of being wet. I don't know. And, like, oh, some honey. What if I don't like honey? Some people just don't like that shit.
But I bet you back in the day, like, honey was one of those things where you get some honey, you're like, oh, honey was probably the best substance ever.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine. You know, like, harnessing sugar, pure sugar, is some pretty awesome business. Let me tell you what. Every animal wants that shit. Because that's rocket fuel. That's the rocket fuel of nature, man. Fucking sugar. Telling you, it's the stuff that keeps your brain alive. So it's pretty good. You're going to love it.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
It is very delicious. I am actually quite... I'm fucked up on sugar right now. I'm drinking one of those green Monster Energy, the ones that are in cans that are even larger than normal cans, just so you're overdoing it.
Are you having the shakes yet?
Not having the shakes. I am sweating quite profusely. We've already done a radio show today, and you know how I get during radio shows.
Oh, you sweat more than Roger Ebert. It's disgusting.
Does Roger Ebert sweat a lot?
Well, maybe not now that his pores have been closed due to medical science.
Yeah. Well, I'm sitting here in my stink. It is generally unpleasant. All amped up. It's fun. I feel kind of like a homeless person.
Yuck. Do you want to get laid through this endeavor or not, sir? Don't always be so honest.
I don't trawl for poon on the podcasts.
I think that you're making a gigantic mistake. This is where you go, man. And besides, this is the bonus members, right?
You know,
these are the same people. At least some of these people have offered to show you their titties for membership. Certainly, there's more there to that offer.
Well, you know, there's something to be said for it, because I think the only people who don't think podcasts are lame are people who listen to podcasts, and therefore my profession kind of limits me to people who listen to podcasts.
Oh, seriously, man, seriously. And and let me tell you what, it's an audience of what's I'm looking for. Of people that are just interested in other fringe activities. We're all fringers. That's the problem with us. Right?
This is true. This is true. Because out there in the real world, I think professional podcaster is right around the same realm of professional dungeon master.
Exactly. I mean, I'm a geek hardcore. And that's where we find ourselves. You know, I think that when you start geeking out on learning about the world around you, you're going to get interested in non-belief. What can I say? But the thing is, every time I go to a conference, the one thing that I notice, that it's like the most common thing in the world, is that we're all just, at least, we're all very uncomfortable and weird around each other. You know what I mean? That's generally the first feeling I always get, is that there's just, because it's so broad a thing, you're like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get along with anybody.
Yeah, it's true, because you might have an idea about evolution that the other person, scientifically speaking, thinks they think you're an idiot because of it.
Right. Or for whatever reasons, you know, I think the one thing I realized from getting into the scene is definitely that even amongst communities, there's always going to be some fighting, you know, like if one group doesn't get along with another group that have the same interests, but, you know, they're made up of human beings, and human beings are fucking fallible, and they make mistakes, and they get petty, and it's just, you know, at the end of the day, if you ever wonder sometimes, like, why aren't we doing more? Why aren't we bigger than even the crappiest versions of ourselves, like the religious versions of us, right? You and I, like, let's pretend we had a podcast of similar size. We had, like, you know, we were a Christian counterpart. We would be way wealthier. You know this, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're going to be getting back to that rapture thing a bit later on. And when you hear about the kind of money that this random group of nut jobs makes, it's, it makes me wish that I was... What's the word here I'm looking for? That I was sleazy enough to go into that and take advantage of all those rooms.
I guess so. I guess so. Anyways, I'm just putting it out there that when we wonder why that is, I think part of it we have to be honest about ourselves, right? Like, are we sexy? Are we charismatic? Really? Honestly, at this point, right now, is that where we are?
What, atheists as a group?
It's a group, right?
No, we need to harness some of that Web 2.0 stuff and make ourselves sleeker and cooler. Kind of like, you know how Anonymous set themselves up with that mask, and now when you think of Anonymous, you don't think of a bunch of fat losers with ponytails sitting on 4chan all day masturbating to pictures of Miley Cyrus. You think of that cool V for Vendetta mask, and they did a good job of PRing themselves into that kind of thing. So us as atheists, we need a couple different things. That Scarlet A that Dawkins brought up, lame. Lame, lame, lame.
I think we just also need a little... I mean, I hate to say it, guys, and I know that we just don't want to accept it, but let's get a little bit of, you know, sex appeal star power up in there. I'm just going to put that out there. There are lots of sexy people that don't believe in God. Why are we not doing anything with these people in any way, shape, or form? What the fuck are we doing? Like, honestly, why is no one with a really clever script... I call out Soderbergh to go talk to Brad Pitt and say, I have an idea for a script involving some atheist character and blah, blah, because Soderbergh describes himself as a hardcore atheist, right? That's what he said. I'm like, fucking prove it, man. Make me something sexy. I know you can. Make it sexy, please. I beg you. We just need a little bit of sex appeal up in here. I'm feeling like we don't have enough fire yet to kind of break through. We're just still very awkward. I feel like we're still teenagers, you know, and like this whole scene. We're just trying to figure ourselves out, and we still haven't. I mean, every time I go to a conference, I mean, you know me. I'm always taking the side of saying, like, I don't want to be fucking accommodationist. I want to fucking say, no, this is some bullshit. And every time you do... there's always other people who'll be like, I disagree, and I agree, and all of a sudden you're like, well, we have different views of things, and just because we have the same idea or notion about whether or not the supernatural exists doesn't mean we agree about the strategies and how that's done. So we don't really have a clear way to make some of those distinctions, and I hate saying, you know, we should compartmentalize. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that at the very least, can we have some just a little bit more organization, you know, where the people that are like, I think we should push hard, why can't they get together really and produce something that is going to be awesome, and the people that are more accommodationalist, they can try to do something that's awesome as well. We all work towards the same goal, we just have different ways of working about it. We have to respect, recognize that, and I think we have to cater to that.
Yeah, a couple of subgroups would definitely help because, atheism is a very broad term, and there's a lot of people with a lot of weird ideas that come to it, and some organizations that do different things that cater to different specific atheist interests could help.
I just want us to figure out a way to do that without there being a kind of separation anxiety, right? Where you can have like the Chris Moonies who thinks that really the problem with people being unscientific is that even atheists, who he is, are actually pushing people to the boundaries and making it less acceptable, and therefore pushing those two, you know, that are on the fence to go and become more fundamentalist, right? That's one area that this is what he believes and this is what he fights for. I think that you still have to have a kind of like, all right, I recognize that it is still even a possibility, right? You can just say that, and I'm going to say something else that's completely different. And at the very least, we can just agree to disagree on that part. Be like, well, I don't exactly know, but I think that pussyfooting around has really not helped us for the past, oh, I don't know, forever. Just going to put that fucking out there. It's been forever. We've given it a chance, and it sucked. Fuck it. That's what I'm saying. Just going to put that out there. Fuck it. Speaking of things that where you just want to scream, fuck it, let's talk about Harold Camping again. He's that guy that, you know, is behind the May 21st doomsday prediction just in a few days. The whole reason we're even having this podcast, or why the last podcast fucking happened. Because people still give a shit, you know? And if you wonder, like, how is it possible? Why is it that anyone would focus on this fringe group from a guy who in 1994 incorrectly predicted the end? Like, why should anyone listen to this fucking crackpot, right? And who the fuck is he? And then you realize, okay, what his organization that he has, what's it called? Family Radio? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Family Stations or Family Radio. They're both acceptable. Right.
Okay, so Family Radio itself, in 2009... they brought in like $8 million. Like, they're massive.
No, between 2005 and 2009, they made $80 million. They took in $80 million in contributions. We're not talking about, you know, companies that pay them to air commercials during their 24 hours of crazy religious brouhaha. We're talking about $80 million in people donating money to them because they heard them on the radio. That's $20 million a year.
so insane.
That is quite insane.
Yeah. So if you wonder, like, why, how could they afford RVs, billboards, all over the fucking place? Because I know I mentioned somewhere, I think last podcast, we were like, oh, there's not that many billboards, and someone corrected me saying that they're everywhere. They're like locusts where I am, and you're like, well, how's that possible? They've invested quite a bit of money into it, and when the whole endeavor fails, and there was an interesting article actually on CNN, I know, CNN, right? But CNN Money, where they were just examining where the cash flow is coming, or where it was going, or what they're doing with it, because they're a non-profit in many respects, because they're a radio station. So they still open up their books to the IRS. So you get to see sort of like, well, what are they declaring? What the fuck is going on right here? And you just realize the scope, the size of this. And it's just, and it's based on fantasy. I mean, does everybody remember? I hope you remember from the last show where he came up with the fucking calculation of this ridiculousness. It's like, should I reiterate this stupidity? Was
well, you can just in case somebody randomly picked out the show and is listening to it
right.
without having listened to the other one. It's just a stupid mathematical calculation based on crap that he inferred from a whole bunch of ridiculousness in the Bible.
Yeah. Well, no, not even the Bible. Like, honestly, it's just he uses his own chronology to calculate dates in the Bible to say this is when the Earth began, which is like I think it was 11,000 years ago or something like. Ridiculous, and then also use that to calculate the precise day that Jesus gets crucified, and from there invents a formula of just 5 times 10 times 17, and then times itself, and then says this is how many days until he's back, because you double it for just make doubly sure, you know, like that kind of weak ass stupid shit, and then this is supposed to be a formula, and you're like, wow, I'm very impressed, yay, and you should be impressed if that kind of thing impresses you, if you're a dummy, if you're willing to compromise, give so much of your income to these nut jobs, and that's what they find. I bet you they're going to make so much more money because he's going to pull the same scam he did last time where he's like, oh, there was an error in my math. Because, of course, that's always what they're going to say. Of course, there was an error. Right? It's kind of just a wild guess there. We're still hopeful that any day now the majority of the Earth's population will be wiped out and put in a wine press. You know, like, what the fuck, man?
This it feels like a publicity stunt. I mean, we didn't know who the fuck this Harold Camping guy was until he did this. Now we are very aware of his existence, and I'm sure there's a whole bunch of stupid people who are checking out his radio. Like, if you're in that area where family radio comes in, you gonna check it out after seeing all this stuff?
Well, here's a question, and we need to think really carefully about the answer because I don't have the answer to this. But let's say you have two options. One is that even in our, as we participate in this marketing campaign that we have fed into as atheists, right? Like, part of its popularity is us. Like, we're even having, like, I think Rock Beyond Belief is having an event, a telethon, to try to raise funds because it turns out that it's also Soldier Day or something. I forget. Some kind of, like, soldierly holiday. And they're like, well, they're trying to raise money for their legal fund. So, all right. I kind of like that. I'm like, sure. They even asked me, can you mention it? I was like, well, I only have a bonus show, but sure, I'll mention it because I think that's cool.
Well, is it happening like really soon?
Yeah, it's happening in like a day.
Oh, it's like this weekend.
Yeah, their telethon happens and it ends on like the Rapture Day. So they have a whole telethon thing that happens. You can tune in and you can donate if you're feeling generous. I'm gonna put up a post about some of the various little activities because some people have taken advantage. Like the Seattle Atheists, they're doing a fundraiser for Camp Quest. That's that non-Christian, you know, here's a camp where we teach kids how to use skepticism and reason. So they're going to donate the money that they get from that and use it for good instead of evil, I guess. But our question to ourselves is that do we gain more from being able to have a very visible but easily mockable figure, or is it sort of like better to just ignore that kind of thing? And I actually think I'm on the latter side. The former side, because I honestly think that we do need these characters. You know, this is how we can shame them. Honestly, this kind of guy, sure, he wants publicity. Let's give it to him. Let's make him fall on his face time and time again, because, yeah, he will attract a lot of the nut jobs, and it will make identifying the dummies a lot easier and shaming them, because it's ultimately what we have to do. This is not going to go away. This kind of doomsday bullshit will not disappear. It is so pervasive and dangerous. I can't
believe think about this, though. Shame no longer means failure and dismissal. Nowadays, you can make a career off of shame. There are many American politicians that do just that. It doesn't matter what they're saying is bullshit or not. All that matters is that you become aware of them. The more people that become aware of you, once you hit that magic number and you surpass that, you can continue to make a living off of the suckers that believe your message and follow you, regardless of all reasonable signs that say that they should fucking think you're a whack job.
But you know what? Here's the truth. You can't stop this anyways. I mean, everything's becoming connected. Voices are being heard. Like when Bin Laden was getting killed, it was being tweeted. Some guy was like, I hear noises.
The Rock knew about it like 2 hours before everybody else did.
My point is just that the community that we're building, and it is a global community, don't kid yourself, it's just happening even pervasive, like it's just pervasive. It's just happening all around you. And what that means is that in the future, however frightening or even maybe hopeful that is, voices can be heard. And what that means is that people who would normally have been ignored will be paid attention to. That ability, that power, that can be exploited by anyone now. So that's what we have to be aware of. That's what we have to think about. We create these monsters that feed us as well, but it is a cycle. You do need them. We need these guys. Whether or not you accept it, you need them. You need an adversary. And I believe that we should at the very least, choose our adversaries wisely. This is a perfect opportunity to really identify. And it really, I think, in a way, stigmatizes Christians themselves, because they have to separate themselves from that group as well, right? It identifies the real differences and kind of incompatibilities of these faiths. They can pretend that they have an arrangement and ecumenism, but it never works out. Like, even when the Catholic Church offers all the really bigoted Protestants, be like, come on back. We embrace our hatred of homosexuality. Kind of, they're like, no. We don't want to come back to your fold. We still don't like lots of other shit about it. And that's when you realize that this is how these guys work. They always make splinter groups, and their own splinter groups are often crazy and murderous. Just ask the Jews. Hey, how did your religion work out for you, huh? Was it really your savior, or perhaps, I don't know, the cause of all your fucking problems, because your offshoots have been trying to annihilate you for the past 1,000 fucking years. Get a clue, man. That's the real problem. You were almost killed by the stupid religion you created. Congratulations.
I like this. I like this thing that you've been on lately. Blaming the Jews for the other religions that hate the Jews. You're going to get yourself banned from Cannes, my friend.
Is that so? Is that a
perhaps?
Is that a possibility? I'm just going to point out there that the crazy thing is whenever you try to create, let's say, an ideology, right, or order in your society. You make, I think, certain concessions, right? If you read the Bible, I think the clearest concession is that they accept the power of God, but they don't really like that arrangement all the time. It's not always beneficial. You know, he's always just as likely to wipe them out as he is to give them something. But it's just kind of a bargain that they're willing to accept because they're desperate. This seems to be at least the way that it plays out. It's just, what other choice do they have? If they say no because someone has already made an arrangement for them, supposedly, you know, when Jacob makes a covenant, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, now it's just the arrangement has been made. It's the choice is not yours. You have to follow along, or if you disagree, we will annihilate you. Is that really a choice? Is that a valuable compromise in order for you to have order in your society? I'm saying that if you rely on this poisonous idea this is what could come back and haunt you. You know, and I think that we should be aware of this ourselves. The ideas that we put out there that are poisonous, they can come back and haunt us, and they can kill us. We should not underestimate the power of some of these ideas that are out there, and we should fight them. That's what I want to do. That's what I fucking think good atheist is all about.
A perfect example of this is the fucked up seed that Revelation and the concept of rapture plants in there. The whole end of the world, the apocalyptic message that it injects into Christianity, which is so fucked up.
It's really fucked up. I mean, it's the worst. How can you entrust the fate of people to those that actually look forward to that? I mean, remember when I was saying that the kind of history of eschatology, which is like the obsession with the end of the world, you look at the Millerites, and I think it was like 1834 or something like that, when there was the first real big prediction. Like, this is the first kind of fever, whereas they're like, this is going to be the end of the world on this date. And they had their own little formula and that kind of stuff. And then it failed, and they called this the Great Disappointment. But, I mean, I'm going to say this again. That's the Great Disappointment? You regard the world not being destroyed in this orgiastic mess of murder and mayhem, this is a great disappointment to you. I'm like, I think there's something wrong with any ideology that professes, or that looks forward to the end of the world. I'm like, that's a poisonous idea. That's an idea that we need to fight. That's clear. Like, even the people that sort of follow Christianity, they have an uncomfortable past with Revelation, right? It's not everybody that looks forward or think this is a great thing. Even they themselves have that problem, right? I read it all the time. I go to a forum, and the one guy's saying, like, oh, well, the signs will be more obvious, and there's no way to know. Or another person saying, like, you don't understand. The world will be much better, and blah, blah, blah. And you know how it is, right? Not everybody shares the same fucking vision of what Christianity is, because guess what? It was all made up by you personally. You took whatever you wanted out of it and you made it work for you, if you still believe in that shit. So I'm gonna have to debate you. I'm gonna have to debate your entire fucking weirdo ideology and what that represents. That sounds like a good fucking time to me. Yeah.
Well, I would certainly hope that the signs would be more apparent, because you saw that graph that's been floating around the internet where it shows God's powers, where back in the day he was parting the Red Seas and causing the plagues and creating the universe and, you know, doing all this other stuff, and now he just occasionally makes a cameo and a piece of toast.
Right, right. The God miracles versus the Jesus miracles kind of a thing?
Well, just as far as, like, take a look at the miracles of... the miracles of Christianity from this point until the present day. And it just seems to be, weaker and weaker. Back in the day, if you take a look at all of the saints, and you know how every saint has to have miracles attributed to them, go back and take a look at some of the miracles that they said other saints performed compared to the miracle now, which is, oh, a nun in a far-off place says that she had this disease. No one can prove it, and now she says she's healed. Ooh! That is impressive.
It's a miracle. Hallelujah. Yes.
Yeah, especially compared to the stuff that used to go on. I wish I could think up one of the ones off the top of my head, but I think I'd be messing them up with something that might not be actually real, so I'll just keep my mouth shut.
Well, you know though, whenever you make mistakes, that creates future content that I can mine and saying, this is, Ryan was completely wrong about that, and that was crazy.
I try not to be wrong on the radio show as much as I used to be, because I've started meeting a lot of the people who listen to the show, and they're so smart. I'm like, oh, I got to try not to sound like an idiot all the time.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I mean, even smart people. No, but check this out. Smart people tend to have a huge neuroses about how smart they actually are. It's like one of those things where the smarter you are, the more obsessed you are about how smart other people are. So they become completely obsessed with that, always try to overprove themselves and overestimate the intelligence of others. So it's fine. Don't worry about it. They're neurotic. That's what I'm saying. Don't worry about it. They're brilliant but neurotic. It's the best way to describe it. So you got the up and up. You're just like, so you make some mistakes. Everybody forgets that. You know, the kind of the same way that they forget the way that psychics forget the misses. they'll just listen to when it's like spot on. That's all you need to worry about.
Just like rapture people forget all of the times where the rapture didn't happen.
Exactly. What? We're different from them? I'll tell you, the one thing that is different, at least, is our standard of evidence, right? In every other way, we're identical. Why wouldn't we be? We're the same fucking people. It's just that there are some human beings that have decided, listen, you know, a book of fairy fucking tales with a talking donkey is not an adequate historical document to base reality on, your interpretation of reality. If you think it is, I'm like, that is just stupid. But in every other way, you feel the same amount of love or hate when you hit your toe on the side of your bed or whatever. There's no real difference. So I'm not better or worse. It's just that, hey, I have a different standard of fucking evidence than you, and I don't have any vested interest in my beliefs. So guess what? I trust what I believe a lot more, and whether or not you're more intelligent than me, I'm not going to try to fucking debate. I don't care. I really don't care anymore. But what I will say, what I will debate, is just the standards in which you base your fucking schema on, your worldview, your universal worldview. If it blows, I'm going to let you know. And that's all I'm going to do. Well, I might also blow your mind. You know how I am, eh? I've been accused of a few times. Be like, yeah, you blew a couple of my friends' minds. Could you tone it down? Be like, I'll try. It's a curse, Ryan, but I love it.
Being inappropriate in public is a curse.
Absolutely. I'm cursed with inappropriateness, you know. But it's been very refined over all these years that I've been recording these podcasts, and I'm being encouraged to do so. So everyone, I want to let you know that you're to blame for my inappropriateness. That's what I'm going to just put that out there. Your support makes me less appropriate in the world. I'm sure that I'll actually sell more memberships if I'm honest about it, you know, because that's what most people want, for me to continue to be inappropriate.
True enough. I mean, our radio show is pretty inappropriate in general. So
in so many ways, I usually have to warn people that sort of, you know, they might offer at first a kind of like deal. We're saying like, hey, maybe we could sponsor you guys or become affiliate. And we're like, why don't you listen to a lot of shows and then you come back to me and then we'll talk, because I'm not going to agree to anything until you actually listen to what the fuck I said, because I'm not going to change how I'm going to talk. To make things more digestible. That is, I'm not willing to compromise that level. I enjoy being a jackass on my show way too much to ever change that. It's never changing.
Probably for the best.
I think so. Well, you know, if anybody doesn't agree, they don't have to resubscribe next year. They're like, well, I thought he was too angry. And I'm like, I respect that. Get off that anger wagon. It feels
too many
liberating, I guess.
Too many F-bombs.
Too many F-bombs, yeah. That could be another sort of common complaint. There's a variety, I'm sure, out there. And I'm like, eventually, person gets tired. I think it's like that anyways, though, eh? You think that the people... I mean, we still have some hardcores that have been listening to us for 4 years, but how many people are still listening after that long? Come on, it can't be everybody. No way.
You know, I figure a podcast is like a girlfriend. You go through, like, a romantic period. I'm going through this romance with this podcast called Hardcore History, but... you know, it's got its quirks, and I'm sure in about a year I'll get sick of it and move on to another sexier podcast, a younger, hipper podcast.
Yeah, something with, you know, the slightly younger, less wrinkles. I mean, fewer annoyances. Mm. Well, before we go, there's something else I want to talk about that kind of peeved me. And it made me realize, remember what I was saying before, where we don't always have things in common with people that just share our own disbelief, our own skepticism. And one of them, I guess, is I posted up a video about these climate scientists that made this rap or whatever. And I liked it because it was, you know, swearing in it. So I was like, that's cool. And they just pretty much laid the smack down on climate change deniers. Which I think is an important task. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm like, this is something that's important to talk about. But even within the community that listen to us and even, I think, pay for the show, there are people that still deny, and it annoys me. This bothers me, because I feel like to some degree we should at least be more immune to it. But when we're not, it just... I guess it just pisses me off when people are still using the same old arguments. Like, I was just one guy was saying, "Oh, the climate change is because of the sun." And you're like, "Oh yeah, really? Because of that 12-year cycle that it's on a current downtrend of?" Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, congratulations on learning tiny little amounts you think amount to a kind of, "Oh, this is a broken link in this chain and that it falls apart." I'm like, "That's not how things work in science, man. It's not a chain. All right? It is a fucking mountain of evidence. That's how it works. And if the evidence doesn't work, we have people that peer review that shit. So if you really have if you think that shit's not real, then I'll tell you what. Why don't you go out, you fucking do a study about it, and win a Nobel Prize of saying, "Well, all the science is wrong, and I have it figured out." Otherwise, stop fucking reading the same little uninspired bullshit conspiracy theory nonsense that you have thinking, "Oh, now I know that climate sciences ain't real." It's fucking embarrassing. And when you really start looking at a bit of the history of how they smear the reputation of real scientists, like, I was reading the story about this guy, a climate scientist by the name of Roger Revelle, all right? He's the guy that's basically credited as being Al Gore's mentor, okay? And the deniers love to bring him up because they say, "Oh, well, later on in his career, he actually denied the fact that climate change was real." Because unfortunately, when he got older, and I guess a little tiny bit more senile and less careful, he lent his name to a very unfortunate study that said that it wasn't as serious a problem, and it became kind of an embarrassment in his later career. Now, they didn't want to sort of retract it because he had agreed to it. He just hadn't read the fucking paper. And they used that to try to say, well, this guy really didn't believe that his entire life's work was real. He recanted. And it's that same shit they tried to do with Darwin. It's just sick when you think about it. They're like, "Oh, well, we can't disagree with the science. Let's try to smear these people's fucking reputation." They did this, smeared his reputation to get to Al Gore. That's like fucking the most pathetic thing in the goddamn world, man. It's pathetic. And it just, that angers me. When it gets down to the fact that people are just trying to find solutions or answers that they're looking for, right? They're like, "Well, I don't want to believe in climate science, so I'm just going to find the evidence that fucking confirms what I believe." And I'm like, that's really not how the process works, man. That's it. It's like, go do some research on how this stuff is actually researched and developed. Realize that the global climate of this planet, that the world that you live in, the troposphere, the air that you breathe, is the thinnest of fucking atmospheres you could possibly imagine. It's not very thick. It doesn't take long for it to fucking be nothing. You would not even believe how high you have to go to no longer be able to breathe. You don't even want to know this. And then you think that dumping trillions of tons of carbon dioxide doesn't do anything? That's embarrassing. It's fucking embarrassing. I'm just going to put that out there.
Well, the most concerning thing, I think, is that there's a lot of people who do believe that it's real, yet nothing is being done.
I know. Maybe is that more terrifying, maybe?
Stuff is being done. I don't want to discount all of the different people and all the different scientists and all the different organizations that are trying to do things. But, on a cynical side, and I usually sit on that side, I find it unfortunate that we're not doing more.
Yeah, I know.
That the Chinese are doing more. The Chinese,
they have higher emission laws. It's crazy. It's like,
and I heard a funny thing. I was watching one of those political talk shows, and someone brought up the fact that China was engaging in green energy research more than America, and the counter response to that was, "Oh, so you want to be more like China, do you?" Facepalm.
You just shouldn't emulate them. I'm like, you know what? One of the things that I got, actually, I don't know if it was a comment or a letter from a fan who was saying that the best stem cell research papers are coming out of China. It's like almost none of them are coming from the West, except for maybe Germany. And you're like, this is get real, everybody. Wake the fuck up, will you?
Did you hear about Russia 2045?
No.
This is a funny group of people who are trying to push the Russian government to commit funds and resources to a scientific endeavor to make humans immortal by 2045. And they say that because of all the restrictions on science in North America and I guess a lot of Europe and so forth, they got to go to a country like Russia, and they're saying, Russia, you can... It's funny, actually. Steven Seagal...
Not again. Not this guy again. Why does he pop up all over in my life?
I don't know what's going on, man. He was completely out of the picture until suddenly he starts coming up everywhere. He's driving me nuts, too.
Steven Seagal in the show. No. No, bad Ryan.
But Steven Seagal signed a paper along with a bunch of other people encouraging Vladimir Putin, because he's obviously the one pulling all the strings, to agree and go along with this Russia 2045 idea.
Yeah. And here's the most ludicrous thing in the world that everybody doesn't understand is that his name actually means something to Vladimir Putin. I kid you not.
What, Steven Seagal's?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, Putin's like a martial artist.
I know. So it's Steven Seagal is engaged in global politics. You know what? Fear the future, everyone. Fear the future. I fear it.
Yeah. Well, so long as Chuck Norris is being quiet for a while. I'm quite happy with that. Maybe he realized that I don't know.
No. He's laying low because trust me, if Mike Huckabee becomes the Republican candidate, he will not shut up. Okay? He will be the president of Texas.
Man, you're out of touch. Huckabee didn't run. He said he was not going to run.
Shut the fuck up.
He's keeping his Fox News show. What do you expect? The guy's making lots of money, and no one wants to run in 2012. No one wants to run in 2012 because they know they're going to get their asses kicked. Everybody's waiting for 2016, and I was just thinking that might be what Chuck Norris is waiting for.
Save
the crazy for 2016.
Yeah, that's a perfect time for crazy. So until then, let's try to enjoy the ride. But Americans, I'm just going to put it out there right now. Try to figure out a get out of America plan by then, okay? Just figure that out.
I have one fun little experiment for our atheist listeners if they wish to accept.
Okay, go ahead.
Before we go, imagine, just do a little mind exercise and imagine that the rapture is really going to happen on Saturday. Think about what you're going to do over the next 2 days and try to do some interesting things with the idea that the world ends on Saturday. You want to get some fun in there. That is your mission, atheists. Use this stupid shit as an excuse to go out and do something special.
Right.
Have some fun.
Right, it's true, because at the end of the day, if a person asks you why you're doing this and you tell them because it's going to be the end of the world and you live in the U.S., I mean, they're not even going to question. They're going to be like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, I believe you. I believe the same thing. Holy shit, I'm going to do that too.
I don't see why there wouldn't be a reason for everybody to not go out on Saturday night and get shit-faced. No hangover on Sunday, man. We're all going to be in heaven. Or... I guess if we're left behind, which I guess we would be.
You're gonna wake. What? What are you talking about? I'm gonna wake up in my mansion. He's gonna love me the most. Yeah. Because trust me, God's love is scarier than any hellhole that you could live in. He's got the scary love.
I need to convert so that I can have my seas of honey and my grass and my virgins.
Or your grapes. Better. It could be a mistranslation. It's virgins or grapes.
I'd be so pissed off if it
you was could
grapes.
Fuck a lot of grapes. I guess it's just as soft. Mash it up in there, and then you get wine out of it, and I dare you to drink it. Drink your own cock wine.
Nah, I'd rather drink the wine presses of human suffering.
Oh yeah, the stuff that's going to happen there during Revelations. Well, I'm going to say a gigantic lake of blood. If you've never tasted just a strange brew of whatever mixing blood, this is your chance, everybody. It's going to be awesome. Looking forward to it. Guy with a sword in his mouth cutting off my head? Wow. I mean, let me tell you something. We're going to go down, like, epically if it goes down. So just enjoy the show, which is really not going to happen. I wish I could put some fucking money on it. You know, I feel dumb. I mean, even in the article that we were talking about, 80% of the staff that works for this family radio, that they don't even believe it. I mean, they've been booking themselves for the next year. Obviously, if they're still paying their rent, then I don't think they believe their own shit. It makes you realize how. I mean, that's the train. You don't need to be right. You just need to get people to pay attention. I mean, look at Jehovah's Witnesses. They were successful despite, like, five or six failures in a row. That's how they grew. That's how they do it. They're like, well, we'll make a prediction, and it's better than nothing because everybody else is offering you nothing, so here's this date. And that's what people fall for, because it's within their lifetime. They're like, well, this is just as likely as any other date because we believe in this horrid shit that that we're convinced is what makes us better people. It's awful. Makes me depressed. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
But we can leave the rapture subject off for probably, you know, another year at least after this show. After this not happening. I guess we'll have to mention it on Tuesday when we're all still here. But we'll do that briefly.
I guess so. We'll have a little, hey, we're still here show. And it'll be absolutely identical to most shows. Except for an intro which will say, hi, we're still here. So look forward to that, I guess. You know. I guess I kind of ruined it. I feel like I'm one of those, you know, a modern movie preview now where you've seen the whole movie and there's no reason to see it anymore. And they're like, why aren't people not coming to see our movies? Well, first of all, your preview showed me your movie and your twist, and then I thought that it sucked, and your funniest moment didn't make me laugh. So I didn't go see your movie. What a fucking surprise. It's like you wonder. You wonder why you fail. You wonder why you fail, Hollywood. All right, you know what? Before we go, I'd like to thank everybody that's a contributing member. Thank you for being with us, sticking through us for the times that are being rough and good, especially now that they're seemingly to getting better all the time as we're putting more effort and more punctuality into the shows.
Well, things have settled down. Yeah. So that was a key point. When everything's all uppity, it's difficult to get shit done. Now things are settling. We're gonna churn out the honey. We're gonna give you guys honey.
Lots of honey. Honey is the crack of nature. Really, it's what it is. It drives you mad. Drives you mad, and that makes you sleepy. Very, very sleepy. So thank you for your contribution, and we'll catch everybody on Tuesday, unless of course the world ends on Saturday, in which case I guess we'll see you in hell. With that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.